Come on, church, keep worshiping. You got to see your victory. You got to see your victory in Christ. Come on. There's things you're believing God for right now. There's people you're praying for right now. You got to see the victory now. And you got to start confessing that victory right now. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. What is the battle? We battle the Word. We battle with the Word of God. Take that Word. That rock that David had in his slingshot, it represented Jesus. It was the rock. It was the revelation. It was the experience that David had. He had trust in God. He had already defeated the lion and he had defeated the bear, but it wasn't by his hand. It was by the hand of God that was upon David. David had been taught by his father. He knew the word of God. He knew the covenant he had with Jehovah. And he knew God was able. I said he knew he was able. And he said, this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine that doesn't have a covenant with God, what is he against the God Jehovah? I tell you what he was. David saw him defeated. David saw him laying on the ground. When he spoke those words, when that giant came to David and said, I'm going to take your head and cut it off, David seen it in reverse. Because the Bible says when you curse the man of God, the covenant, the curse has come back to you. That's what God said. I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse you that curse you. That giant cursed God and that curse came back on him and David took his head off. He took him down with the rock, but that wasn't the end. You got to take that enemy's head off. Now, our enemy is not people. Our enemy is the words they are speaking. If they don't line up with God's word, you got to take the sword of the Spirit and you got to rebuke it and you got to resist it. We have to resist that sickness, resist that poverty, resist those thoughts that try to attack our minds and bring a stronghold in our mind. No, we have to cast those thoughts down before they become strongholds. And if you got a stronghold, shout it out in Jesus' name. You take the rock, you take the word, the hammer of the word, and you knock it down. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is yours, Lord. And you have given us the victory because you sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Our best days are in front of us. I said our best days are in front of us. 2020, hindsight's 2020. We had a blessed year in 2020. Why? Because the blessing's on the inside of us. We carry the blessing. It never leaves. Jesus never leaves. So we got to make sure we keep that in our, that's the vision going forward. We're not looking in the rearview mirror. That's where the distraction, that's where deception is. We're not looking to the past at what the devil done in the past. We're looking to the future, what Jesus has accomplished on Calvary's cross. Amen. That's our victory. What he did, and then through Pentecost, what he gave to the church to do. He gave his power. He gave his covenant. And you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost if you don't have that baptism. Jesus wants you to know he's given you everything you need to succeed in this life. Amen. And you got to grab it and take it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's some more of the tongues. That's some more of interpretation that just came out. Amen. Amen. And if you were praying in tongues this morning, if you got the gift, you can interpret. Flow in the liberty the Lord has given you. Well, Pastor, I'm just not sure. Well, we'll judge it for you. We'll make sure it's right. Judging's not bad. Judging's good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Well, we're going to get back into part three this morning of the theme the Lord has given us out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. 2021, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in 2021. But we're not going to stop there, should the Lord tarry. We're going on into 2022, 2023. Amen. God has good things in store for us. He has good things in store. Well, the Bible says, storehouses, lay up for yourself in storehouses. You know, I've got a savings account, but, you know, if I'm believing for bigger things, might need to go ahead and open up another savings account. Give the Lord another storehouse to be believing. You know, we're a blessed church, and we're talking about we need to take some of the funds that we have and put it into a maybe some type of market that the Lord's able to, you know, some type of account to where it's just not sitting there getting a little bit of interest. See, that's God's. It's all God's, and you bring it in here. And the Lord told us in the talents, if He gives us something, He don't want us just to bury it in the ground. He wants us to invest, and when He comes back, if He gave us one, He got 10. Amen? So we can do better things. Just be good stewards of what He's given us. That's called increase. Say increase. Increase. That's increase. He wants to increase us more and more. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. And we're going to start there and kind of talk about thy will be done. And it's amazing. I just turned on the radio this morning, and I think it was Pastor Dwayne Sheriff. I listened to Gospel Truth TV. I got different radio ministries, the Victory Channel, Kenneth Copeland, Newsmax, different things. And Pastor Dwayne, man, he even said Matthew 6:10 this morning, talking about the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm like, hallelujah. Speak to me, Pastor. Preach to me. Heard different people just bring that out this year, that the Lord really wants us to focus on His will. What is His will? The Word of God is the will of God. New Testament. Remember, we got the New Testament. Nothing wrong with the old, but the old is what it says. It's old. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. All the old hangs on love. If I love Wayne, I won't steal from Wayne. If I love Cecil, I'm not going to hit on his wife. That's adultery. Love, if you focus on love, the sin won't be there. If you focus on the love walk. Amen? And in other words, keep that before your eyes. Meditate on it. What is the will of the Lord? Love people. Love God first. And I just got a little revelation on this. Pastor Dwayne was talking about the crescent moon and how Islam came to be. Muhammad, well, he went into a... I need to study, go back and listen to it again, but pretty much where Muhammad got Allah is he went into this temple and there was like 360 gods in there, but with the one that he focused on was the moon god. The moon god in the Old Testament, it was the crescent moon. So what he did, Muhammad got rid of all those 359 gods and he made it a religion and focused on the crescent moon, which was Allah. Allah. God is not a moon god. See, they try to say Allah is the God of the Bible. Not my Bible. Not my Bible. Not my book. Not my holy book. And you'll see Islam, you'll see on their mosque, you'll see the top, every mosque will be a crescent moon. And just this morning thinking about that, what does the moon do? Moon God. You know, we serve the God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth. And everything you see out there, He's the creator of that. Well, He created the moon not for man, for the earth. To bring light, come on, to the earth. The moon in itself is dark. It's nothing without the sun. Come on, if the sun don't hit the moon, it's just a dark, vacuumless planet. It's a moon. It's not even a planet. It's a moon. It reflects the sun's light to the earth. The devil don't have no light. There's no light in him. Serving a moon god, you know what you're serving? You're serving a god of darkness. Because without God, there is no light. You get some revelation on that? You know, the moon god has nothing without the light. So without Jesus, you're nothing. Amen? We got Jesus. We got true light. He is the light of the world. He's in us. That light, He lit every man that came into this world. Now, whether they believe that and receive that, see, we died. There was spiritual death. When Adam and Eve sinned, they spiritually died. They were separated from God. Physical death and spiritual death are two different things. Because they didn't die till like, how old was Adam? 600, 700, 800 years old? 600? 900 years old. But when they rebelled and they chose the lie, the devil's way, that was the father. They became his child. Adam and Eve became they adopted into the kingdom of darkness. That was spiritual death. They separated from God, went into the moon god, if you want to say. But that wasn't the end of the story, because God said, I'm coming back for you. He came back for his walk and his talk with Adam. And this is what's so awesome. If you think about the first offering, you think about Cabel, you think about Cain and Abel. Abel bringing an offering. Cain killed his brother because he despised his offering. Well, if you look, God brought the first offering, because Adam and Eve sinned and they covered themselves, it says, in fig leaves. And when God saw them in those fig leaves, they wasn't covered too good, Wayne. See, religion is man's idea of how to please God. God said you were fine in the beginning. The way I created you were fine. Who told you were naked, he said. But what the devil did, God said, I'm going to have to take care of that. I'm going to have to cover that sin. And if you read, God slew an animal and covered them with skin. Blood had to be shed for that sin to be covered. And then God brought mercy, and that's mercy and grace. See, people look to the Old Testament, man, he kicked them out of the garden. No, he didn't. He separated them from the garden of the tree of life, because who wants to have cancer all their life? In other words, get cancer, all this sickness, all this disease that would come, and then go eat from the tree of life and live forever in a body that's being hit by cancer and tumors. That's why God took them from the garden. He kept them from the tree of life until Jesus died on a tree and broke that curse, and we're going back to that garden. Our worship team sings a good song. We're going, help me, Tammy. We're going back to Eden, to God's garden. See, he still got it for us. The tree of life is in heaven, but God brought heaven to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the life. He is the tree of life, man. He went, amen. He is life, and in him there is no darkness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thy will be done, Lord, in me, in us. Verse 10. This is speaking of God's power and authority. PA. A PA makes a good sound system, right, Wayne? It amplifies. It takes the song, it takes the keys on that keyboard, and it brings it through a PA system so you can hear it. Jesus brought God's will to this earth so we could hear the word of the Father. We could know the Father through that power and authority that was given to us by thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Jesus brought the kingdom to earth. And it's essential to remind ourselves that God can do anything according to what he has spoken. This will help you on why is things not working. Why is bad things happening to good people? Because we're getting some wrong words out there. We believe in some wrong things, and we open up our minds and our thoughts to the devil. Because God can do anything according to what he's spoken, because he won't lie. He can't break his covenant, nor will he alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. His desire for us is to be blessed. But he also said, if you don't obey my words, the devil's out here. In other words, I'm paraphrasing. They didn't understand this in the Old Testament. The enemy's out here. Your father, the devil, the one you got deceived by. If you don't obey what I'm saying, he's out here to hurt you. See, God's trying to protect us by doing what he says. That's what the law was for, to show us what sin wants to do to you. If you steal from somebody, the devil's going to come and steal from you. Times whatever. He wants to destroy you, kill you, amen? So, it's essential to remind ourselves that God can do anything according to what he has spoken. Then we pray that God's will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. See, if we know what God has spoken, we can speak it here. In other words, we bind and we loose, amen? We bind that word, bind it to your mind, and speak it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So you got to know the word of God. You got to know the will of God. So let it be on the earth. There's no sickness in heaven. Can I get an amen? Why? There's no darkness in heaven. God is light. You can put a name on a lot of things. There's no sin. There's no poverty in heaven. No strife. No arguing. How do we know that? We've read the book. Amen. We've read the book, the author of the book. That's God's will for us on the earth too. But see, you can't. We can't see that. We can't understand it with our natural eyes or with our natural ears. That's why God sent Jesus. And he said there'll be some that'll not believe on me until they see me coming again in clouds of glory. He said there's some right here that I'm speaking to you, they won't believe until they see me come in my glory. But not everybody, because Jesus said you got to have ears to hear. You got to listen with your heart. See, God is speaking that small, still voice. And he's asking us to trust him, to believe him, to love him, to believe on Jesus whom I sent. But the world was so caught up in what they had been taught by the law, and the law will bind you, it'll blind you from the truth. That law of what the works, what I have to do. Now, it was good at its time, it served its purpose. But Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. That's why he said, you got to have ears to hear. You got to have different ears to hear. Now, you've heard the law up until now, but Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. He's trying to get our ears to listen to the truth now. Jesus, Moses, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's the Mustang GT we talked about. Jesus is riding a horse, grace and truth. That's Mustang GT. Y'all know that much. That's what Rowan, he always talked about, wanting a Mustang GT. And I found it in the Bible. I said, well, you put your confession there. Make sure you get a good job, because I have no desire to drive a Mustang GT. I don't like getting down that low anymore. So we got a Dodge Dakota. Possess, if you don't confess and dad's confessing, we're going to possess what dad's confessing. Because dad paid the money. Amen. Just a little side trip there. Thy kingdom come. Kingdom means a political or territorial unit ruled by a sovereign. Kingdom. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords of God's kingdom. By sovereignty, by God's will, not man's will. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, not the will of man. Man wanted to make him a king. Man, they seen he could multiply bread. Man, what he could do to the economic system of that day. Man, we don't have to go out and work hard in the field. We can go to Jesus, man. He can just take that bread and bless it. That ain't God's will. God said he wants us to eat from the fruit of the ground. He don't want us to live by miracles. God wants us to live by the sowing and reaping. Put seed in the ground. That's a miracle right there. You can't produce a seed. You can't produce dirt. Now, man can manipulate it. We can take the seed and we can cut it and germinate it. I'll do all kind of crazy stuff. And we had to watch. We're getting in trouble. God didn't say nothing about take this seed and cut it in half. He didn't say nothing about that. I ain't saying, I'm not against all these different things, but why mess with something that's made perfect to begin with? Why mess with something that God said is good? Amen. So when applied to God, this kingdom, it could refer to all creation. According to Psalms 103:19, this is it. His kingdom rules over all. Over all. God's kingdom rules over all. Animal kingdom, celestial kingdom. But here in Matthew, kingdom, it more often applies to his rule in and through those who are submitted to him. Not your kingdom come, Lord, your kingdom, not my kingdom, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. See, I got to submit my will to the Lord's will. And if I pray according to that, Jesus said, you can ask anything, anything according to his will, and it'll be done for you. In my name, Jesus said, in my name, not in Mary's name, not in St. Peter's name. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Peter had to submit. Peter had to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's only one Jesus, only one God, three persons. And then the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. So here, the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13, and I told you maybe it's good to read a couple of chapters before what we're studying and a couple of chapters after. But the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13 are clearly referring to the church. Compared with Luke 17:21, we see that the kingdom of God more specifically refers to Christ living and ruling in our hearts. Thy kingdom come, heaven come in me. Heaven come in me, and let Christ rule in your heart. Amen. So praying thy kingdom come is praying for the expansion. Say expansion. Expansion and influence of God's rule in the hearts of people everywhere, and ultimately. It's called discipleship. Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go get people born again and just... He said, go make disciples. Everything Jesus said that I've taught, you teach likewise. Everything that Jesus taught, laying hands on the sick, multiplying the food, whatever the Lord says, do. Whatever he taught, he said, go and do likewise. Not just a pastor. And I think I'm blessed to be your pastor here, but I'm here to teach you, to equip you to go do the... Oh, that's silent. I know it's a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. I'm called to teach you, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. I'm still working in the ministry. Amen. What is the ministry? Thy kingdom come. Until the kingdom comes, we got work to do. 24/7. We got people to tell about Jesus and the good news. Amen. I said good news. You're not going to find a lot of good news on the TV. You can find some good news at Word of Faith Worship Center, 757 Harris Street. Live streaming. There's good news coming from this church. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to preach the truth, and sometimes it ain't going to feel good to the flesh. But you know what your flesh has to do? It needs to be nailed to a cross. It's got to be crucified. I'm talking about your flesh, your carnal thinking that's not renewed yet. And we all have places in our mind that have got to be worked on. Both hands, if I lift both hands. See, you're a work in progress, but you are a finished product. Come on, you got to see yourself in Christ. It's not by your works, lest you have something to boast about. This is how it's by Christ. You're a finished product, Tammy. God has great plans for you and for Reed and for your family, and that's what we've got to focus on. I told you, being out in Enochville and Mooresville coming up this way, that cotton has been, the machines have picked cottons, and they leave a big old cotton bale. But I don't just look out there at that field and see cotton, and I've never messed with cotton. I'm not a farmer. But God sees t-shirts. He sees whatever you can make with cotton. He sees coats. See the vision. You got to look past what the cotton is. There's a purpose for that cotton. You got to see the end of it. Man, there's a purpose for Wayne, for you moving to that place and getting that house. There's more than just a purpose than it looks good. No, there's a greater purpose there. There's neighbors he hasn't met yet. There's a purpose there. You're there. Your place called there. And it can change. But be a blessing there. Amen. Be a kingdom person there. Amen. Let God establish his kingdom there. That's what I'm trying to say. There were sometimes when I had my baby diapers on and persecution would come, because it's going to come, I was ready to get out of there, Lord. Send somebody else. Man, these people are ugly to me. That's what my flesh, that's what my mind wanted to do. Lord, get me out of here. Beam me up, Scotty. But Lord knows, if I move you, I got to train somebody else in that position right now. And I need you right there, right now. Amen? But that's when you let God be strong in you and grow you. Now, I'm not talking about he's bringing trials. And all this persecution is when people don't like because you're being a light in a dark place. You're bringing light into their darkness. Man, I can remember when I worked in the maintenance, man, I remember walking into apartments because we had to go in there and change filters and spray and do what we needed to do. I had a master key to that apartment. But that doesn't mean I can just go in there and do what I want to do. I've got rules and regulations, but I'd walk in there and I walk into some of these kids' rooms, darkness. I could feel demonic activity. Dark things on the wall, I ain't going to repeat some things I saw on the wall in words. I could feel the darkness flee. I'm serious. I could feel that darkness because I'm light. And the Bible says light has no fellowship with darkness, and darkness can't fellowship with light. When you turn the light on, the darkness has to flee. And it's kind of like like the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea. The anointing, the power of God was upon them. Man, God opened up the Red Sea. So when you walk in darkness, a Christian, the light, that darkness, you just make your way through it. Because they see the authority who's in you. And then when I leave, you know what happens? It's kind of like you leave, it just comes back. Because Jesus told us how to get rid of that darkness. Now, if that person wants that darkness, there's nothing you can do. You can walk in there and it can't affect you. Now, you can sense it. And you can speak to it. You can take authority over it in your rule, in your domain. But when you leave, that person, I don't have authority over Wayne or his house. Amen. Neither do you. The only person I have authority of is me. I can help you now. I can teach you and show you some things. But Jesus said, if darkness is in you, how dark is that darkness? But how do you get rid of darkness? It's not hard. Fill yourself with light. Fill yourself with the Word of God. I've ministered to a lot of my family and nieces and just say, hey, quit reading these books of Harry Potter. Or quit reading books that's teaching witchcraft. Because there's only two kingdoms, kingdom of light and darkness. And that's their book. Harry Potter is a book of darkness. I'm sorry. It sells a lot. But it brings destruction. You might not see it. And what it's doing is getting its tentacles. Just an example. This needs to be said. Because I'm still working out here. And I'm working on this appliance. And I'm listening to this gentleman. Listen to this word. This teaching come through this radio. Talking about deception. And I can listen to it. This is just... You want to talk about manipulation and control? That's all that teaching was. It's talking about deception is good. You know, you have the power, this power of deception, teaching you how to operate in deception. There was a lot of things I wanted to say, but it was not my place. But you know what I did? I prayed when I left that place. I said, Lord, let your kingdom come in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because it was wrong. It was totally against the Word of God. But that person don't know. Or I don't think, you know, because a lot of people, they're doing things because they're trying to get up. They're trying to get ahead. And this is what this will get you ahead in life. Don't work up the ladder. Throw somebody off the ladder. That's pretty much what it teaches. Deceive them. Kick them off the ladder so you can get ahead of them. That's the way the world wants to get ahead. But see, God values his people. And he loves his people. And though even Joseph was in a prison, we're talking about thy will be done, Lord, thy kingdom come. The kingdom was in Joseph, even though Joseph got put in the prison by his family, by his brothers, sold him out. Why? They hated the goodness that was in him. They hate the devil is, he thrives on pride and jealousy, not God's jealousy. And his brothers sold him. But God was with Joseph. Joseph didn't get, he could have got bitter. He could have got offended. But what did he do? He just continued on. Lord, he knew it. He didn't understand a lot of things. And you're not going to understand a lot. Don't focus on the whys. Focus on the who. Who is in me? Greater is he that's who. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That means if God's with you and no matter what you're in, you're going to have the victory if you'll focus on Christ. He'll get you out. It might take somebody, it might take me a while because there's other people there that they don't know the God that you serve. But I tell you, my pastor always told me the cream always rises to the top. Just give it a little time. Amen. Just give it a little time. I like whole milk. My wife got me stuck on this 2%. But when I make good oyster stew, Carrie, you like oyster stew? I like oyster stew. My recipe is I take a full stick of butter and I melt it. And I take me, a lot of times I went to the oysters I get fresh, but now you can get them in a can all year long. Because usually you can only get oysters in the months that have R's in them. Fresh oysters. I used to work in a grocery store, so I know these little things. But now they put them in a can. You can get them anytime. It's on the top shelf right above the Star-Kissed Tuna. Charlie. Remember Star-Kissed Tuna? What was I talking about? Oyster stew, I love it. Full stick of butter, take you some salt, take you some pepper. Pepper those oysters, pepper. You can put a little bit of hot sauce in there if you want to. And then stir that and then add your milk slowly because you don't want to put all the milk, you'll burn the milk. I still ain't got me a good pot that won't scorch, but where was I going with this? I was talking about, I love oysters too.
Your wife got you on the 2% milk.
My wife, thank you, Tammy. And Pastor Jim down there, focus, focus. Yeah, Sherry got me stuck on this 2%, but when I make oyster stew, I get the good stuff. I get the whole milk. Yes. Amen. Give me the cow. Give me that whole milk. And they don't complain about that. And but see, we get conditioned. You know what I mean? We get conditioned by, you know, it's probably healthier for you. The healthiest thing would have your own cow and milk it. That's the way God created it to be. See, man's kind of added and made it faster, put these machines in there, and then we got to pasteurize it and add these. You know, there's all kind of things man has done that God never said do anything like that. That's where we get messed up and we get all these chemicals in our body that ain't supposed to be there to begin with, and our body's trying to fight it, trying to get it out, or kind of, we ain't going that way. My God, we ain't going to get past verse 10 today. Thy kingdom come. This is going to be, we're going to talk about this all year, I guess, Pastor Reed. So anyway, you got Pastor Reed's going to, he might give y'all something totally different next month. But it'll be the word of God next week. I say next month, Tammy. So God wants to expand our thinking. And the influence of God's rule, praying thy kingdom come is praying for the expansion and the influence of God's rule in the hearts of people everywhere. And ultimately, the establishment, say establishment, of his physical kingdom here on earth and his second coming. And that's Revelations 11:15. You remember Jesus, before he was born, was prophesied. A virgin shall conceive and give birth, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. See, that was spoken thousands of years before it came to pass. Well, when we keep praying, thy kingdom come, and we keep teaching the kingdom come, guess what? It's going to come physically. Before too long, Jesus is coming again. Now, I believe in the rapture. That's the snatching away. I believe we're not going to go through the great tribulation. The devil, the Antichrist, the one that's going to physically be possessed by the devil, he can't even start until the church, till we're out of here, because we're not going to allow it to happen, because good always triumphs over evil. So when the church is gone, that's when he's going to set up his kingdom, and then there's going to be, all hell is going to break loose. The Bible talks about it. Hell is going to be on the earth. It's going to be established on the earth. His kingdom, the devil's kingdom, until we come back with Christ, the second coming. So there's some things there, and I feel like we're going to get into in some end time preaching here for too long, as the Lord leads. But you know, why teach on the end times if we don't know the will of God? Amen. Why even go there if we don't have that foundation? Well, why would God? Do we know the will of God? Because he loves us. That's why he's not going to let, I wouldn't let my wife go through all this tribulation and sit back and just say, you deserve that, honey. We are the bride of Christ, right? And the Bible says we have not been appointed under wrath. Amen. Jesus was appointed under wrath. He took all the wrath of God, was poured on him, placed on him on that cross, so that we could be looking for his coming. So we could hear the trump. So we could hear that sound of the archangel. And the Lord, see, the kingdom, it's not like, see, the kingdom, that kingdom, that's how we're going to be translated. Whether the angels help us, we're going to be changed. Our whole body is going to be changed. And we're going to be, physically, we're going to be beamed out of here. Snatched. And it don't take long for God to snatch somebody up out of here. Amen. Now, when a person passes now, their spirit and their soul leave, but their body's left. Well, the Bible says when this snatching comes, it talks about those that remain. In other words, we're not going to precede the ones. I'm not going to precede Mama getting her body and getting up there, because Mama's already in heaven. That's where she is positioned there, her spirit and her soul. Now, her body is still in the casket, decaying. It's just dirt. Without the spirit and the soul, it's just dirt. Now, it was God's dirt. It was, Mom was beautiful. I'm speaking good about you, Mama. Beautiful dirt. But without the spirit and the soul, the body's dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith. But true Bible faith is alive. Mama's alive. Amen. I said, my mama's alive. Amen. I said, she's alive. And she is waiting for that day to get her body back. And God's waiting too, because see, God don't lose nothing. See, that God don't lose nothing. It's his dirt. It's going to be changed. We're going to be changed into that glorious image. Amen, one day. Mama's going to go first, but then it's going to happen so quick, I'm going to be right behind her. Yeah. In other words, if I'm still living, God's going to change me, and then we're out of here, Wayne. But we're coming back with Christ to rule and reign. So we need to be learning about this kingdom now, how the kingdom rules and reigns, because we're going to be doing it physically in our glorified bodies here on the earth for 1,000 years with King Jesus, setting up his kingdom in Jerusalem, the holy city. Amen? This land, this fight over this land, is going to be taken care of one day. From sea to shining sea. This land is God's land. This land is God's land, if we want to sing it right. Now, if I'm God's, I can call it my land, because God gave it to mankind. I'm not against that patriot song. You know what I mean. But let's sing it right. Man, this land is God's land. I never could get Mama to go camping. She goes, that's God's country up there. There's bears up there. There's mountain lions. She goes, that's God's country. I said, well, Mama, you got authority over them animals. I'll stay down here. Some things, you know, I just couldn't get across to Mom. Water had authority over Mom. She wouldn't go over her neck in water. Had a fear of water. She don't know more. Amen. No more fear of water. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I think I have graduated from that page. So the term, now we talked about the kingdom of God. Now the term kingdom of heaven, if you need a copy of this outline, I'd be glad to get it to you. The term kingdom of heaven is a term found 33 times in Matthew's gospel. By comparing Matthew 13:31 with Mark 4:30-31, it can be seen that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are identifying the same thing. God's word reveals his will. Jesus demonstrated his Father. He said, I do nothing except I hear my Father. So everything you see Jesus doing was God's will. 2 Peter 3:9, if you turn with us there. 2 Peter, tell you what, I'm going to go there. I've got everything before my eyes, but God might want to say something else right there. 2 Peter 3:9, I'll give you time to get there. Now, this is the epistle, and I've heard Brother Kenneth Hagin, Sr., he's in heaven now. And he says, if you want to know Jesus and the will of the Father, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But now, if you want to know what you're called to do, what the church is called to do, you need to read the epistles, because they're written to the churches. Amen? In other words, now you've learned about Jesus. Now, Jesus said, now you go in the power of the Spirit, and you go cast out devils. You go lay hands on the sick. Freely you have received, freely give. It's not just for you to say, hoo-hoo, toot your horn. No, you need to find somebody else that needs to know Jesus and get them born, get them baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost, according as they will. You got to teach it to them. Let them know how the importance of it. That's called making disciples. And so 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering to usward. Thank you, Jesus. It took him a long time to get me to a place where I could surrender. Now, when I say it took him, he wasn't bringing bad stuff into my life. He was just waiting. He was following me. He was getting good people across me to try to get me to listen to him. You know? But I was stubborn. I was blinded. But he sent a couple to Sherry at work. Pentecostals, Church of God, they came to my house and witnessed to me. Spoke things I'd never, you know, I'd count them, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, Twilight Zone. But I found out that was the normal zone. Come on, I found out that was God's normal. I was the one that was abnormal. I mean, I was the sinner. I mean, I was the one that had it all together, I thought. Amen. And then I met Jesus. And Jesus revealed his will to me, his purpose, his plan. He delivered me. And he called me by name, Cecil. Son, my son, my son. He built a relationship. He built that father-son relationship. And now, I'm no longer a servant. I'm a friend and a son. Amen? Mm-hmm. Old Testament, they called us servants, but now we're sons through adoption. Jesus was firstborn, but then after him, many. Amen? So 2 Peter says, God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Now, his kingdom's not coming a second time until God is, his long-suffering comes to an end, and he cuts it off. They said, that's it. This is the end. He closes the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. When that book's shut, Jesus is coming back. Well, that's the second coming, because when the church is snatched out of here, people can still be born again here on the earth, but they're going to have to cut their head. They can't take the mark. They're going to be martyred. They can't buy. They can't sell. So they're going to be going through that's called great tribulation. You can still be saved, but you're going to go through hell physically on the earth. And if you die, then you'll be resurrected. You will make it to heaven. But I don't want to go through that. What I'm going through now is enough. That's enough. So be ready for the Master when he calls. Because there is coming a time when God says the times of the Gentiles is filled up. There's coming that time. But that's in God's hands. We need to focus on, you know, Jesus had disciples. Hey, Jesus, can we sit on this side again? Can I sit on this side in the kingdom? And Jesus said, that authority is not for me to give. He says, but, thank God, Jesus, that was a good but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me, where earth, not in heaven. I don't need you in heaven yet. I need you in earth. See, them boys are wanting to sit on the throne. Physically, they ready to be on the throne. Jesus, come on, your kingdom come, Lord. You're setting up now. When can we sit there with you? Jesus said, you will sit there. He said, but Jesus has got his place. Spiritually, he's saying, we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ, far above all principalities. See, that's a vision we got to see. God is long-suffering. He doesn't want anybody to perish, not to leave this place without knowing him and through Jesus. And that takes repent. In other words, repentance means to change. Lord, I'm tired of trying to live my life in my ability and repent. Lord, I'm changing. I want you. I want to submit to your lordship, your sovereignty. I want you to be Lord of my life. And when you do that, you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you get translated into his kingdom. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things. This is God's will. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. What's good to be rich if you're dying? God wants you to have both health and houses and lands and vehicles and motorcycles. I got to add one. Some of us are believing for motorcycles. We'll just say a vehicle, a motorcycle is a vehicle. That covers all vehicles. Man, we're getting close to the Jetson era. We're talking about flying vehicles for too long. That's what I tell you what, they're going to have a lot of dummies go through those crash dummies before I buy one of them. Flying vehicles, man, there's people, I ain't going to go that route. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So praying God's will means praying in agreement with his word. Your will be done. And one more scripture here, or one more paragraph, and we're going to close for the day. And I like to say this before this. God didn't make us beggars. He made us believers. Amen. We don't have to beg for things that we don't have. We believe. We just believe. We don't have to live beggarly existences here on this earth and just wait till we all get to heaven to begin experiencing the benefits of our salvation. That's a wrong mindset, that we're supposed to be poor. Amen. That's not true. In heaven, the Bible says in Revelation 21:4, in heaven, he will wipe all tears from our eyes. No more tears. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. That's where tears come. Death, separation, no more separation, Cindy. No more death, no more dying. Just living. No more just existing, but living everlasting life. See, a lot of people are just existing here on the earth because they have no hope. They have no future, and they're just existing. And we got to change that. We got to bring the kingdom to them. Amen. Bring that kingdom into their environment. Amen. And we can't give somebody something we don't have. If we're baptized in prune juice, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go around with a frown on our face, and we ain't going to bring nobody the kingdom. Amen. So in heaven, God's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. So here on earth, we can pray and believe to receive joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you sing that song? Start thinking about Jesus and the throne. Think about that heavenly place. But remember, don't look upward. You're looking upward to see Jesus, but he's on the inside. He's put the kingdom on the inside of us. So we might need to make an adjustment. Last scripture, 1 Peter 1:8, talking about thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Your Lord, your will be done. 1 Peter 1:8, healing, prosperity. Well, let me just, you about got it, Reed? 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, we love. In whom, though now you see him, not yet we believe. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The same joy that Jesus experienced on that cross when he was in pain and bleeding and his physical body was dying, he experienced joy unspeakable in his spirit, man. He saw the end from the beginning. In other words, he saw us in heaven together. No more pain because of what he did, because of what he was experiencing, because what he was taking on his, in his body on that tree by his stripes. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his wounds we sung, we are healed. We're not trying to get healed. We're believing we're healed through his covenant blessing, through the blood, through the sacrifice. That's where you stay in faith. You don't go begging God for healing. You go believing God you are healed by his wounds. Not by your sacrifice, by his sacrifice. That is a religious transition right there. Amen. Staying in grace. That's the difference between grace and the law. You can't get saved by your faith, and you can't get healed by your faith. It's God's faith. It's his pure faith. And when you put your faith in his faith, miracles. Amen. You just keep trusting. You just keep believing. You keep walking. So healing, prosperity, and all of the other benefits of heaven are ours. Victory. 2021. We've already got the victory. It's in Christ, in him alone. And all other benefits of heaven are ours here on earth, to the degree that we can, everything we have, that we can believe and that we can receive. Don't limit God. Even if you don't see it, what? Whom having not seen, what is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen right in front of me. Not seen. So if you haven't seen it and you're believing for it, rejoice. If you haven't seen your healing yet, but you're believing for it, I'm rejoicing. I put my glasses on every day, every morning. But you know what? I'm thanking God, not every day, every morning. One day, Lord, I'm going to put them on and I can't even see because I'm healed. I won't need them. Not seeing, yet I believe. I don't blame God. I believe God. I don't blame God for what's wrong. I believe God for what he's done. The victory's already been won. And that's where I got to stand. And done all, I'm going to stand. And I need somebody to stand with me. Amen. I need you guys to stand and believe the vision. Jesus needs you to stand. Stephen stood up. Jesus stood up for Peter. Jesus stood up for Stephen as he was being stoned to death. Why? Because he had this testimony. He knew the will of God. And he was just a busboy. He was just a deacon. He wasn't an apostle. But you know what Jesus saw? He said, that's my son right there. He looked down there and he stood up. He said, that's my son. He believes in my word. Now, he didn't get raised from the dead, but we're still talking about him today. just like Martin Luther King, the impact that he made on our lives. Don't let what I'm hearing, this cancel culture, they're trying to take our history out, people trying to say evil things against those, and they wasn't even there. They hadn't even read the history book. They're just saying what the other crowd's saying because it just sounds good. No, you read. I failed world history, but I'm starting to learn my history. And don't go to Wikipedia to do it. You know, we used to buy the old good encyclopedias, you know. You could bring them home, some thick books. But you can find, don't just like the Bible, don't just find it in one place. You find two or three times how where it's written, and then you build your foundation. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has forever settled His will in heaven for us. His Word is forever settled. He's not going to change. I got to change to come to be formed into His image. I want to be formed. Hey, God, once you get born again, and if you're watching, and if you're here, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Sell out to Jesus. And if you're sold out and you made that commitment, there's another thing you need to do. You need to let Him baptize you in the Holy Ghost with fire. I bring that invitation to you today, too. If you're watching by live stream, my email will come up there later, but you can go to our website, wofwc.org, and you can pull up my phone number, my email, and we'll be glad to lead you into that baptism. But you know, I don't have to come to that TV. I don't have to come to you out there to get born again or get baptized. All you got to do is believe. Believe that Jesus has His will for you, and you receive it, and you get the benefits. You just yield yourself to Jesus. Give Him the right of way in your life, and He will turn it into something beautiful. My brother Tyler in Mississippi, he's having up days and down days, but when we get done talking, man, he gets fired up. He's only 21, 22 years old, but he was almost to the place of suicide. He just told me last night, he said, Pastor, he said, if it hadn't been for you, he said, I appreciate your time that you've taken me. He said, I probably wouldn't be here. He was that close to just taking his life because of a girl, but it wasn't because of a girl, it's because of evil. It's because of darkness. That, you know, growing up in a family where your mom's addicted to drugs and your dad's not there, it's just the devil. It's just evil in the world. And always being told you're a failure, you're never going to make it, and this spirit of fear and oppression, all it takes is somebody to give somebody hope in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and tell them that God loves you and He cares for you. See, that positive always cancels out the negative. But they got to hear something positive. Man, I heard a lot of negative growing up. But then God put some people that brought some positive, some teachers in school that were praying for me and speaking to me. And, you know, I was a rebel kid, but I saw their love. Amen. And it got planted in my heart. So if you need to receive Jesus today, I would ask you to call upon His name. Believe that He loves you, cares for you, died for you, rose for you, and forever lives to pray for you in heaven. And all you got to do is say, Lord, I need you in my life. And if you call upon His name, He'll save you, cleanse you, wash you. And then you need to get into a good church, a body of believers that gathers together, building up each other. Say, building up each other, not tearing each other down, building each other up in the Lord. Unity and strength. And then just spend some time with Jesus. Spend time in His Word. Amen. Just let that Word reign in you and saturate you. Be a sponge for Jesus, not SpongeBob. You know, I never did like this cartoon. It was a little wild. My kids, I had to fight against that. But be a sponge for Jesus. Man, when He says something, just soak it up and then squeeze it out on somebody. Because, see, a sponge really don't fulfill its purpose until you squeeze it out. Amen. On somebody else. Amen. The old dry sponge, that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to soak up something, clean it, let the Lord clean you. So if you don't focus on, don't look it on the outside, just let Jesus come on the inside and He'll take care of the outside. And it ain't a one-time process. Now your spirit man gets born again and gets cleansed, but your outside man, I tell you, you got to sharpen him every day. Let the Word work on you. Charles Katz was famous for saying, the Word of God is working in you mightily. Thank you, Tammy. The Word of God is working mightily in you if you'll let it work. So listen, any prayer requests as we close today? I tell you what, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you for all those watching. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you are the answer to the world's problems. And Father, we just speak life, release life to all those that's heard your word today, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting your glory and your power in our bodies and in our minds, Lord, in our finances, Lord, and everywhere we go, Lord, that you are establishing your kingdom on this earth to a greater degree because we are submitted to you and we're going to see your kingdom come and expand here on this earth the way you saw it in our time and in our season. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anybody need personal prayer? We can agree with you.
So that he can get delivered from the damage.
Amen.
And to know that he is, to have hope.
Amen.
And not be isolated and not feel horrible about himself.
What's his name, Teresa?
He goes by Rod.
Rod? All right. You know what? I just hear in my spirit, he's going to become a rod of God. Just like when Moses laid down that stick. In other words, Father, we pray that Rod would lay down his life before you right now. This life that's been damaged, that's been destroyed by the enemy. We're talking about his physical, we're talking about his psyche life, his mental life that's been destroyed, shackled by darkness and by destruction, by negative words. Lord, we just thank you that Rod lays his life down, Lord, and you pick up his life and he becomes a rod of God. That life comes back and resurrection life comes to Rod right now in the name of Jesus. Deliverance, Lord. We pray that he receives that word, Lord. We speak that word to him right now and release it by faith. And we thank you, Father God, you're faithful to bring your word to pass. That you won't let no word that is your will fall to the ground without coming to pass. So we just thank you for the fruit of salvation into his life and deliverance. The full benefit package, Father, and bring people across his path full of spirit-filled believers that believe in the power of the Word of God. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that people, you're sending angels on assignment right now to bring that to pass. Because you said, if there's out of the 99, you're seeking that one that's lost that needs deliverance. And you'll go through the ends of this earth to bring that deliverance to Rod, just like you brought it to me. Amen. Amen. Take the word to the world. Amen. I believe it. Let us know testimony on that, Teresa. Amen. We're getting the souls, like Carrie said. I think we're going to add that to the lost. We're confessing, bringing the lost into this place to get saved in Jesus' name. Anybody else need personal prayer? Agreement?
Terry,
let's go ahead and get Terry. Father, we lift up Terry. Lord, he's having some pain in his body. I don't know what name it is. I'm not going to speculate. But Lord, we're just speaking to the pain. We know he's having pain in his lower body and maybe his abdomen right now, Lord. That he's a child of the King. And Lord, your kingdom rules and reigns on the inside of Terry Baker. So we call that pain, we call that disease to leave, to bow its name to the name of Jesus. And we just release our faith for Terry Baker. We call him healed, call him whole, that he walks in divine health all the days of his life here on this earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother?
I've got some infection in my elbow.
Elbow?
Yeah.
Infection? All right, Pastor Reed, put your hand on that elbow. All right, we just agree right now corporately, Father. We just thank you, Lord. You said lay hands on elbows that have infections in it. You said lay hands on the sick. We command that infirmity to leave Leo's elbow right now in Jesus' name. For the pain to leave and for that infection, that whatever's inflamed, Lord, we just pray right now for it to be removed as far as the east is from the west. Jesus said, be it unto you, Leo, according to your faith. Reach out and grab it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Victory has been won. Pastor Jack, thank you, brother. Pastor Jack's in the hospital. Got some issues with his leg. His potassium levels were high. He pretty much said, he pretty much told us that, Pastor, he said, you need to pray. He said, they asked me if they can resuscitate me. And he said, that kind of jolted me a little bit there. He said, I wasn't expecting that, he said, but they told me had I not came in Thursday or Wednesday night, he said, I probably wouldn't be here. So, Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, that your word is living big in Pastor Jack Smith, that, Lord, he has a desire to go out here and reach the lost, those that are in jails, those that are in the nursing homes, Father, and to counsel those that need your counsel. So, devil, you're bound right now in the name of Jesus, that he's going to live a long, he's going to fulfill his days here on this earth because his past is in the past. And he's not living his life according to the past. He's living his life down here according to your word. Your will be done in Jack's body right now and in his mind. But we come against these strongholds that he's not worthy enough to walk in all the blessing. Devil, you're a liar. And Jesus, you have made Jack worthy. And we just thank you for the great testimonies that he's going to have in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Somebody reminded me. Thank you, Lord. Darius?
Lift up my co-worker, Reginald Polk. He been tested positive for COVID about a couple weeks ago and hasn't been himself lately.
All right. So, Region, we release life to you. We speak against COVID right now and any symptoms that leaves behind. Lord, restore his body the way it was before this COVID hit in the name of Jesus. Because, Father, we just thank you, Lord. You're well able. You're well able to restore us restoration back to his body in Jesus' name. We agree. Amen. Hearts free?
I do have a praise report.
Yeah, praise report. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Knowing today is the 17th of this month, I just want to thank the Lord for allowing my favorite actress, Betty White, to see 99 years.
All right, Betty White, 99. One of your favorite actresses. And that being said, be praying for your pastor. I'm going to have dinner with Karen Abercrombie this Saturday. And hopefully maybe Pastor Reed and Miss Tammy, if their schedules work out, they can go with us. And if my wife can have a lunch break, because I really don't want to sit there with her by myself, but we're going to go with that meeting anyway. So be praying that the Lord's will be done in that relationship. Amen. I believe the Lord for divine connections and partnerships. And I'm not pressing anything. I'm just walking with the Lord. The Bible says the man devises his in his heart. He devises, but the Lord directs his steps. So I'm asking the Lord, direct my steps. Amen.
I want to pray God, pray for
it. Yeah.
Last week, I had to attend training for my job, and it was sales, even though they told us it wasn't sales.
Oh, no. So, wow, that's a big...
we had to do it. This was something. And so anyway, so I want to thank the Lord because the Holy Spirit helped me get through the training and really took